You will help us to listen to your word, listen to your way, and to seek to live and be transformed by it. Amen. Well, every now and then you come across a title in a book that you think, that's a pretty clever title. And there's this book for married women about how their husbands think about sex. And it's called, Is That All He Thinks About? It's a very clever title if you're going to ask a book about what men think about when it comes to sex. What puzzled me is, look how thick it is. Surely it just needs to be one page with one word, right? Yes. Yes. That is all guys think about. If you didn't think that's the case, it is. Guys, you know it is. We think about sex all the time, and our world, it's not just a male thing either. We may think about it differently, but it's on all our minds. Our world is very sexual. Women are expressing their sexual desires in very, well, confronting ways compared to the past. I had a really bizarre moment today. I usually write my talks in a cafe or somewhere like that, and I'm sitting in a cafe I love going to, and I encountered, I think, this talk in a nutshell. Good sex, bad sex. You see, in this cafe, they have a TV screen. On the TV screen, they were showing the top 10 downloaded video clips on iTunes. 9 out of the 10 had girls dancing around in less than bikinis. The Lady Gaga song, the latest one, if you haven't seen it, don't. It is porn without showing any rude bits. It's that bad. All of these songs, the top 10 songs were like this. And I wrote down their names and I ticked them off. They all fit. The one song that didn't talked about a guy singing about hooking up with a girl. It was in your face. And I was just watching and seeing what was going on in the cafe. One of the guys who was making the coffee said, I like this song, it's got good words. It was all about just hooking up with chicks and getting onto them. Right, that happened. Then a group of 13-year-old, I'm guessing, girls came in and sat down by themselves. Their parents were at another table. And then they just started chatting about all the boys they're hanging out with and the songs. And they're dancing around to the songs in their chairs and getting fully into it and talking about it in a way that 13-year-olds, I don't know if you should. And then something, I think, I'm going to go with it because I'd like to think it was the way it was. There was the bad sex I was confronting. Oh, no, there was another bad sex, which is the most unhelpful. It's freezing cold, right? And two girls walk in with hardly any clothes on. It's unhelpful. And that happened at the same time. This was within 15 minutes. But then the best moment happened. This older couple came in, holding hands, sat down and started chatting to each other, and you could tell that they loved each other. And I'm going with that. That's what happened today. We are thinking about sex because it's in our face. You can't even go and have a coffee to think about sex without it being thrown in your face. Sex is an expression of how God loves us. That he would give us something so intimate, so personal, so emotional and physically enjoyable as a way of having children. I mean, God could have told us to spit on the ground, put the dirt together, and we have a child that way if he wanted. But he decided this way. And we're going to be thinking about good sex, bad sex, and then I want us to go back to good sex at the end. I want it to be primarily positive as we consider the bad. You might be thinking, though, as the majority, I would guess, are not married. You might be thinking, this is a little bit pointless for me now, I'm not ready for this or I don't need this. Well, the reality is, if you're married or not, you're human, you're sexual. And it's a great opportunity tonight to work things out. As your emotions, your feelings may be changing, and you get to process them God's way. That's what we're wanting to do tonight. So during the talk, at two moments, I'm going to say, what about now? And that's specifically for us thinking about in our situation now, whether we're married or not. How do we think about it? What are we doing now? So what is good sex? What is good sex? Well, last week, Marshall helpfully highlighted the fact that marriage is where sex is found. In one sense, this is one extended talk where Marsha and I came on as a sub at halftime because you talk about marriage and sex together, right? Marriage, sex go together. It was God's way of sex comes out of what it's for and how it works. We saw that in Genesis 2. See it on the screen. For this reason, a man will leave his father and mother and be united to his wife, and they will become one flesh. The man and his wife were both naked, and they felt no shame. Remember the melding together last week? That idea? We are talking about in marriage, one flesh. So why might you get married if you want to have sex? You want to have sex, you get married. You may think, well, that's not a very good reason to have sex. Well, if we think about it properly, it is. 1 Corinthians chapter 7, verses 8 and 9. Now to the unmarried and the widows, I say, it is good for them to stay unmarried as I am. But if they cannot control themselves, they should marry. For it is better to marry than to burn with passion. You see, sex is God's way in marriage. That is how we are to think about it. And if you want sex, you get married. But you don't think about this your way in a selfish way, just as if you want to get pleasure and have sex and all right, I'll do it God's way. No, you think, I want sex, I want God's marriage as well. They go together. Commitment. You want kids. You're 100% committed to it. If you're not ready for those things, you're not ready for sex. As we saw last week, it's a covenant. It is a covenant. The first thing about sex being good is that it's in marriage. See, the world says you are ready for sex. The world says it's just two bodies banging up against each other for pleasure. That's what was going on in those videos. That's what the world says. It's enjoyable. It's just physical contact. It's great. Just get on with it. But good sex is in marriage. And secondly, it is about faithfulness. Faithfulness. It is an expression of the marriage commitment to only desire each other in everything. In everything. No matter how the sex may be working out for you at certain times, it's faithfulness, which is the attitude that you're to have. But as we think about this whole concept of faithfulness, I've heard it said before, well, what if my partner's no good? What if we're not compatible? We need to try first. I've heard this argued by guys when I was at uni. This is what guys would say, right? Try before, you know, you commit for a whole lifetime to the same person. You know, once you get married, I'll be faithful, but before then. It's like living together. Living together is the child before marriage. But I think it's a little bit like, say, you're going out on a date with somebody that you care for, and you go to a restaurant, and you think, we're going to have this meal, and you're going to share it together, and you look around at other people eating, and you think, oh, they're having the same meal that we're going to have. I know. You walk over to them, and you sit down, you say, hi, how are you going? And then you just start digging in. And you try it, and you say, and they look at you a bit weirdly, and you say, well, actually, we're going to have this meal as well, but I don't know if we're going to like it, so I'm just going to try yours. If you do that, you've got social problems. Don't do that, okay? But that's what's really going on when we say, well, we've got to try beforehand. You're taking somebody else's. It's not yours. So you can't do that. The 20-year-old uni student that says, how do I know if he or she is going to be any good? That's such a dumb argument if you think about it. If you've only got one partner, what number is she going to be on the pecking order? Is he going to be on the pecking order? Number one. There's nobody else. They're the best. That's how you think about it. You see, this is compared to the world. If you take a moment to think about how the world thinks about it, if you take a moment just to think about in your social group of friends, at work, in the playground, in a university, sex is a competition. It's all about pushing to be better than somebody else. I went out with her, but he went out with her, and she's better. How far did you get with her? I got this far with her. This is how it talks. I know you've heard this. It's what I've heard. It's what I've been a part of in my younger days. The world keeps telling us that if you're with one person, it's boring. It's boring. But you know what? I think that's because they've completely misunderstood that sex is far from boring because they've missed the last point in this section. Good sex is in marriage and it's about faithfulness and, well, how do we think about sex if we're thinking about it in a romantic way? And what might you say instead of sex? You'd say lovemaking. Sex is an expression of love, real love. It's about, well, we had a series on love at the beginning of the year, the 40 days of love, if you were here, remember that. And we looked at the way God loves and the way Jesus loves. And we saw that real love is like Jesus. And that's related exactly to marriage and to sex. Have a look at the next verse on the screen. Husbands, love your wives just as Christ loved the church and gave himself up for her. That's just one verse in a whole section that's wonderful about marriage. And husbands are to love their wives as Christ loved the church. What did he do? He gave up his life. He did not think about himself. He thought about us, his people. That is how we are to love in marriage. In other words, if sex is an act of love, you're not in it for yourself primarily, but for your spouse. Sex is for the other person. It is about the other person. That is shocking to the way the world sees sex. And we're going to look at that in the last week. Sex is just not about how it is good for you. It's not a competition then. It's no longer boring because what are you in it for? You're in it for him. You're in it for her. If you're wanting to please another person, isn't that boredom? You love them, you care for them, you treasure them in everything. You love pleasing them. There's enjoyment in that. You see, that is the way you have framed the thinking, your thinking on sex. Good sex is in marriage, faithful, and other person-centered. One person, your wife, your husband. That is how we think about it. It's the best way. What about right now? What about right now? How do we ever think about this? You know, Jesus had something to say about how we're to think about things. Pat, you want to flick to the next one? I've turned it off, that was clever. Here we go. You have heard that it was said, do not commit adultery. But I tell you that anyone who looks at a woman lustfully has already committed adultery with her in his heart. Jesus has just gone, bam. We are all going to think about sex rightly. When we're lusting after somebody, fantasizing about somebody who's not our spouse, he puts it on the level of adultery. And if you go through the Bible and see what adultery seems to be, it is the worst of the worst. God's people are adulterers to God, sacrificing their relationship with God for somebody else. So what does it mean for you now? It means you seek to only have pleasure in your wife. And if you don't have a wife, you don't have a husband, then you don't lust after others. It's not okay just to look at something that leads you down that path. It's not okay to fantasize about others when Jesus says that. That leads us to bad sex. One level, it's pretty easy, don't you think, from this, what we've just said, what bad sex is. Quite simply, it's the opposite. It's the opposite of that. It's one flesh being ripped apart and then those two pieces going around to other pieces and bashing up against each other and not fitting. Because they're already one to something else. You can't be one to another thing. And it keep on, it just doesn't work. It's opposite to everything we've just said. It's not the way God intended. It's not in marriage. There's not commitment. There's not faithfulness the way God subscribes. It's really a physical thing. Multiple partners? Well, it's just physical. It's all good. And it's about being good for me. It's not about the other person. Sometimes, though, you can fool yourself into thinking it's okay. Their desires match your desires and you're both really happy with each other. I think it's okay. We're faithful to each other. We're not married, but we're faithful and God sees us married in our own eyes. Wrong. That is rubbish. God never says that. He says, do it my way. And his way is clear. You know, if we're going to be blunt about it, bad sex is prostitution. Not just saying in a brothel. Not just saying sex for money. Sex for something else. You know, God's people are described as being prostitutes, adulterers in Hosea, because they replace God with something else. Prostituting ourselves. Bad sex is, I'll do anything you like if you keep me around. Bad sex is about letting a guy fill you up a little if, well, maybe they'll do something nice for you, take you out. Bad sex is going night clubbing and waking up the next morning and saying thank you and closing the door. Sex for anything that's not for the sake of the other person in your marriage is prostitution. It's adultery when you have sex with somebody else's husband or wife. You know, in Proverbs chapter 6, let's have a look at Proverbs chapter 6. No, we won't. Proverbs chapter 6, verse 25 says, you know, if you go down the road of a prostitute, if you go down the road of a prostitute, the prostitute will reduce you to a loaf of bread. To a loaf of bread. It's that you're just consumed. You're just eaten. They need food. You're their means. But you know what? It goes on to talk about the fact that adultery is worse. Adultery preys on your life. Now, I say preys on your life, but you know what? Adultery is loved in this world. We pretend it's not, but we love it. And it's becoming more and more apparent the more we open up our eyes. You may have heard of, I heard an interview with a guy who started it, and then I saw an ad on television at 8 o'clock in the evening of a website called Ashley Madison. The ad goes a little bit like this. He is married. She is married. Then it flashes up. Not to each other. Hook up with other people's spouses. Nobody needs to know. Just dating without any hidden facts. You see, the guy's argument is, well, most of dating services, people are married anyway, and I just wanted people to go, well, my sex life in my marriage isn't working out, so let's hook up with other people whose sex life isn't working out. We'll have sex together so our marriages will be okay. That is now on television. It is taking off, this website. This guy is making millions. And you know what he said? I'm a family man. If anybody did this to me, I'd be devastated. I just couldn't believe it. But people were ringing up and saying it was a great thing. They wish they had something like that. Other people were disgusted. That is the way the world is so messed up. Adultery is seen to be something that can save your marriage instead of something that destroys your life. Bad sex is the opposite to what we have seen. It's prostitution and adultery. Bad sex is profoundly selfish. Profoundly selfish. I need. I'm missing out on. Sometimes that heartfelt desire to missing out on something is real, valid, and right. But we do things because of it that are profoundly selfish. I want more pleasure. There it is, guys. There's our mantra. The Aussie guy's mantra. I want more pleasure. I want to deal with my genuine heartfelt loneliness. And I find it if I sacrifice myself to guys. It's the way I can deal with loneliness. That's hard. It's profoundly selfish because it's about us and we've sacrificed the way God has wanted things. And it's an empty shell and hollow. And I've added a fourth one. Bad sex is teenage sex. You know why? Because, well, we all just think, like that book says, guys are thinking about it. Once the hormones kicks in, that's all we think about, right? We'd just be in class doing math sex. You know, if we're doing English, we'll think about sex. That's what happens. It's a reality. But we just think about it in our heads. We talk about it with our friends, and I'll get to that in a moment. And then guys and girls are doing it all the time together without any sense of anything other than the physicalness of it all. They just don't think. They talk about it. Now, some of you may be surprised, but I suspect not. What do you think guys are like when they talk with each other in the playground? What do your mates talk like? I remember at school, I can tell you the number one phrase at school when I was with my mates. I've checked with others of you, spoken to others. Similar phrases come out. What would a guy often say? I'll do her. That's how they think. You can laugh and snigger because you know it's true. It's all about physical pleasure. They're not a female who I just see lovely. They are somebody who I can have sex with. You know, I remember, catch the train. I caught the train to school. It was a good thing. You know what? Friends of mine did, people I weren't friends with. You know what they did on the train trips all the time? Everybody was doing it. They would walk up and down the train stations trying to perv on girls. That's all they would do. Walk up and down. These weren't disgusting pig animal guys. They were just normal guys. That's what they would do. What about the girls? How do you think about it with your friends? Do you manipulate each other and make each other feel horrible and loathsome in the way you act? One minute are you setting somebody up with a guy and the next minute saying that she's a slut? I've had seen that experience. See, bad sex is teenage sex because it hasn't understood that it's within marriage and it's far more than just physical with some emotions that are mixing around. It's a real loving relationship with one other person. What about now then? What about now? Well, where to stand out like sore thumbs amongst a very ugly picture? We are to stand out to this way of thinking. And no matter what situation you're in now, you need to do that. And I have no doubt that we all, on some level, need to say sorry to God. But for some of us, we may feel like we need to say far, far much more. Don't be arrogant and think, this isn't a problem for me. The moment you think that, you're probably going to fall. Value yourself more than through sex. Think that way now, so that when you're confronted with it, you think, I don't need sex to have my value. My value and worth, remember, the image of God, far better than sex. But the most important thing, I think, for many of us, if not all of us here tonight, is that sex is not... it is not the unforgivable sin. Transgressions, mistakes down this path are not unforgivable. And if you think like that in some way, I want to plead with you not to. And I have a knockdown argument why. Jesus and who he hung out with. I want you to align your belief in Jesus and everything he says and does to be true with truly realizing he forgives you when you say sorry So that reading we had today about the woman, the Samaritan woman, the woman who was a sinner in that town, in that city, now it's more than likely, it can't be 100% certain, that her sin was probably maybe prostitution, adultery. If it wasn't, it was really, really bad. Right? Her sin, she was a sinner. It certainly covers any sort of sexual transgressions that we may have had. What happened? What happened in that story? We move along and everybody else is just looking at her like she's disgraceful, right? Jesus welcomes her. She treats Jesus astoundingly, and his response is quite simply, your sins are forgiven. They're forgiven. You need to hear tonight that Jesus purposely and scandalously hung out with sinners of all types. Prostitutes, the wicked with their money, those that were just seen to be completely wicked. He hung out with them so that he could forgive them. Now, how are you any different? You're not, in the sense that there's nothing that you have done that is outside of that. Nothing. If you seek redemption, you say, Jesus, you have dealt with everything I've done in the past. While there may be consequences and things that you have to deal with, baggage that does need help working through, he forgives. And you turn to him, say, sorry, your death means you can forgive me. He promises it. He promises it. And I want to plead with you tonight, if you have not done that for the first time, whether it's because of sexual things or anything that is outside of God, here tonight, he forgives you. Grab hold of it. I will trust in him. I'm changing my life from this point on. I'm going to seek not to do those things, whatever they may be. And for the rest of us who are followers of Jesus, but we've just really got it wrong, we made a mistake or little things, God knows them anyway. And he's more than happy to forgive you and for you to change. Hear that tonight. Now, lastly, let's finish with good sex. Good sex is to be enjoyed. Those of you who are married, those of you who will be married, you are to enjoy it and you're to have lots and lots of it. That's what the Bible says, all right? That's not me telling you as good advice as that it is. You have lots of it. You see, the church has got it wrong through the generations, and there were times when we saw sex as a dirty thing. You just sort of did it to have kids, but it was dirty. How could it be dirty when God has given it to us as the way that you have kids, and we get a book in the Bible called Song of Songs with all, as Marshall talked about last week, all its beautiful thinking about the other person and the erotic nature of it all and the desire and the passion. It's God's word that talks about sex that way. You're supposed to have lots of sex, and a healthy marriage will be you having lots of sex for the other person in your marriage. There's a great little verse in the Bible I came across. Have a look at this one. This verse is in God's laws. You know, God's laws, don't do this, don't do that, that's rubbish. Have a look at this. If a man has recently married, he must not be sent to war or have any other duty laid on him. For 1 year he is to be free to stay at home and bring happiness to the wife he has married. Bring happiness to the wife. God has told his people, you've got a year. Go for it. God has had a year. Bring happiness to your wife. Oh, there's other person sending us, by the way. Not, you've got a year, man, to enjoy yourself. No, you're all about bringing happiness to your wife. In the whole aspect of marriage, in this context, sex and children would be linked together. God is saying sex is awesome, go to it. God wants you to be happy in your marriage, and sex is part of that. And I challenge you guys, if you're going to get married, the day you've set the date, go to your boss and say, hey, I'm just taking a year off to have sex with my wife. If anybody pulls that off, please come and find me down the track and tell me. You see, you couldn't do that. But it points to the fact that God is for us enjoying our spouses. Think about that, prepare for that. What's permissible then? Well, let's not think about this. And we want us to really, across the whole series, not think about it as, I can do this and I can't do that, I can do this and I can't do that, and I'm so caught up in yes, no rules. It's not like that. We think about it like God's framework for how we live. God's good framework for how a man and a woman are to live. And there's so much freedom within that. The freedom within a marriage that is other person-centered means that you can mutually work out together what sex is going to look like for you. That doesn't mean that the husband says, I want this. It doesn't mean the wife says, you never show me love this way. It means you work it out together. He really appreciates that. I'm going to do that for him. My wife appreciates the... Look, rhetorically speaking, my wife appreciates the fact that... Rhetorically speaking, all wives appreciate flowers. That's all I was going to say. Is that not true? Wives, you like flowers? Yes? Right. Wives like flowers. Wives like husbands spending time with them. Guys like their wives desiring them. Guys like wives desiring them. Being comfortable with each other. You know, in 1 Corinthians chapter 7, verses 3 and 5, this just is worth thinking about. The husband should fulfill his marital duty to his wife, and likewise the wife to her husband. The wife's body does not belong to her alone, but also to her husband, in the same way the husband's body does not belong to him alone, but also to his wife. See how it goes together? See how marriage is so much better God's way? If you truly worked it out that way, it's good for your marriage. So my hope for sex in our relationships in marriage is that, well, guys, we stop being stereotypical and we talk to our wives. And, well, we actually take the initiative. Men, we want our wives to know that we treasure them. If you're not married yet, you need to think, I'm going to stand up and be a real man. I'm going to stand up and treasure my wife the way God wants. That's when I'm going to commit to marriage. And women, you love your husbands with everything. You desire them as they love you, as Jesus loved the church. Is that all he thinks about? Well, yes. But for a godly man, it should be all he thinks about is loving his wife the way she wants, as a wife does likewise. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we give you thanks for... We give you thanks for how amazing you are to us. The fact that you send your Son to make it possible for us to be in relationship with you, that you give us life and that you show us the way to live. You show us marriage, the great purpose you have given for us. You've shown us the gift of sex and how that is to be expressed in marriage. Father, help us to prepare. Help us to live now in our marriages as you intend. And Father, we are genuinely sorry for the times when we've got it wrong and we've let the world's way affect us. We come before you tonight and we say sorry. Help us to be different. And Father, as we say sorry, convict in our hearts what we know as we see your word, that you forgive. We thank you
that you are the master of all relationships, ours with you and ours with each other.
Amen.